I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. Chris Guillebeau joins me again. The best-selling author has a new book out. It's called Born for This, How to Find the Work You Were Meant to Do. It's a guide on how to turn one's passion into the sort of job one would want. You would work for joy rather than a living. Too many of us complain we don't have the job that we'd want. And in this book, you get a good sense of what you need to do to work better. There's also a great guide in the appendices on how to never lose a tic-tac-toe again. Chris Guillebeau was last on for his book, The Happiness of Pursuit, and a previous book, The $100 Startup. His first book was The Art of Nonconformity. He hosts the annual World Domination Summit in Portland, where he lives. If he isn't traveling the world, if you'll recall, Chris has been to every country in the world. Visit bornforthisbook.com as well as chrisguillebeau.com. This new book is published by Crown Business. Please welcome back to the Plant on the Line program in Vancouver a few days ago, Chris Guillebeau. Mr. Guillebeau, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for joining us. When was the last time you had a real job, say?
The last time I had a real job? I don't know if I've ever actually had a real job. Maybe the last real job I had, I delivered pizza when I was 16. I kind of stacked boxes on top of one another when I was 19 for Federal Express. But that was pretty much it.
Yeah, I guess you're someone who could never have coped with what might be called a traditional job. And I guess even at a young age, you decided quickly that you needed to strike out on your own and shape the career and the sort of job that you wanted.
Yeah, for better or worse, you know. And for me, I was it's not like I had a trust fund. It's not like I had something out there waiting for me. But I really liked to work. I liked to do things. But I had to kind of believe in them to be able to do it. And so if there's something that I wanted to put together for myself, I would give, you know, everything I could to it. But if it was something for an employer, you know, not so much. So I had to kind of find a way to craft a life around, you know, something that would accommodate that.
And for people who, you know, who are suffering under the sort of the glut of 9 to 5, if you will, why is it hard for those folks to get away from that? And for you, I mean, in your experience, was it a change in the sort of mindset to get out of that?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things. So for me, it was more just an imperative. It was more like, you know, once I had a little bit of taste of freedom, like, how can I have more of that? And I didn't really know what I was doing in the beginning. I started by selling things online, on online auctions, and I made a little bit more money than I was making, you know, at that last day job when I was working at the warehouse. And I was like, this is great. Like, and I could do it on my own terms, my own schedule. If I wanted to make more money, then I just had to work more. And if I got smarter at it, you know, then I could probably do even better. So that was very, very intriguing and also very hard to kind of go back from. And so I think, you know, for as you said, ordinary folks who are in the kind of 9 to 5, but I think, you know, maybe it's two things. One, it's mindset. As you mentioned, it's the reality that there is something else out there, the possibility that, you know, we can actually achieve that. And it usually helps when we see role models, you know, other people around us who are doing that in different ways, not just authors, not just celebrities or famous people. But the second thing, I think, is, like, even when we get to that mindset, well, how do we do it? You know, what steps do we take? You know, how do we know what's best? How do we find a dream job? How do we create a dream job? How do we build something for ourselves? So I think in some ways it's like there's a lot of people who are already in that space who want this way of life, but they don't know how to go about getting it. And so a lot of what I hope to do is kind of shine the spotlight on lots of different people who have found a way to do that in their own way, you know, that works for their own situation, and then show readers, like, how they can do that themselves step by step.
I guess people listening to this wonder about you is, do you find that you work less now?
No, actually, I work quite a lot.
Yeah.
And I feel very fortunate to do so. You know, I enjoy my work. I wouldn't want to stop doing it because I really believe in what I'm doing.
Yeah, and then the feeling of productivity, I mean, that's always there, right?
Yeah, the feeling of productivity, and I think maybe it's even a little bit more than productivity, because you can be very productive doing the wrong things. You know, you can be very productive in a job you don't like. So for me, it's kind of maybe more about effectiveness or impact. You know, just and you know, let's relate this to the listeners. It's not just about me. It's like, how can you be impactful? And when was the last time you did something that made you kind of come alive? And when I talk to people who have found their dream job, they often talk about how, you know, they would do this job even if they didn't get paid for it. But fortunately, they do get paid for it. They don't have to make that kind of false choice. So that's what's interesting to me is how can we get more people into that place.
And a lot of people can remain at the jobs that they're at, and because you know, and they will because they like the
sure.
people, they like the commute,
sure.
they like the building. But you talk in the book about something that I found interesting is that you can hack the job of your dreams, so that you can adapt the job for oneself. So even if it's not working out, but you still want to be there.
Sure.
You like the salary, say, or whatever.
Yeah.
You can adapt it, and so how what's advice that you'd give people in terms of how to say hack the job of your dreams?
Right. Well, you know, if the job isn't great, you may not want to stay in that same job. But for me, the principle is there's more than one way to live a fulfilled, purposeful life, and there's lots of things that we might want to do, with our career that require us to work for a company or organization. You know, in the book, I looked at a woman from Ontario. Actually became the first female firefighter there in the province more than 23 years ago. And if you want to be a firefighter, you can't really be a freelancer. You can't be self-employed. Like, you have to go through a structure and through a system. So let's say that system is what you need, to do the kind of work that you do best. Then I think it's first about the mindset that we talked about having this belief that you're essentially a self-employed employee. Like, I might be an employee, but I'm kind of, putting myself on loan to this company or this organization, and that's great. I'm going to do a good job for them, but I'm also going to continue to invest in myself. I'm going to learn new skills. I'm going to look out for the future. Nobody's ever going to care about my career as much as I am, and that's true for every person. So, how can you create more security for yourself? How can you create more opportunities? How can you become indispensable to that company so that they want to keep you around, but you're also kind of building opportunities and, for yourself in the future.
Another useful thing in the book that I found quite profound was this idea from Jay-Z, or since uh-huh. we're in Canada, I guess we can call him Jay-Z.
That you
have to learn how to expand your options, but then at the same time limit them.
Right. So
you're at cross purposes, but would you explain
sure.
that? Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Well, I think we have different seasons in our lives, and we go through different stages in our work and. I think part of the issue that people have is they think the same advice applies, regardless of what stage or what season you're in. And when you're just kind of getting started with something, or if you're young, you're coming out of university or just beginning a career, I think it's actually good to experiment with a lot of different things and to say yes to as many things as you can and to go down different paths. There's this whole, story of the road not taken, where the poet comes upon an intersection and he's like, do I go right? Do I go left? And in the end, it says, I chose the road less traveled by, and that made all the difference. And it's a great poem, but what we don't know is, what was down the other path? What was the other story? Maybe the other path would have been just as good. So in the beginning, I think it's really, really helpful to say, how can I have more options? How can I create more options for myself? And then as we get closer to that thing we're born to do, the dream job, however we like to think of it, then you start kind of closing the doors. Then you start saying, like, okay, I'm going to apply a higher filter. When I make decisions, when I make choices, when I come to that path, I'm really going to ask myself, is this, the right choice for me to proceed? But you don't come to that until you've had more experience. And so I think the mistake is when people expect that from a very young age, you're supposed to, follow this very specific thing, and you have to choose a niche, to be successful. I don't think that's true. I think lots of people are successful by doing more than one thing. So over time, you might want to focus, but not necessarily in the beginning.
Yeah, and you're also clear in the book that you have to set a limit in terms of the time. What did you say, every year you have to sort of resign from the job that you're in?
Yeah, I have this exercise in the book called Resign Your Job Every Year, and it's meant to be kind of just like a mental thing that you go through, and you could do it on January 1 or you could set any other date. And the concept is, like, once a year you're really going to evaluate your life and your work, and you're going to make a personal commitment to yourself that, if when that evaluation comes, if you don't actually believe in what you're doing, if you don't think it's the right thing, then you're going to resign. And you might not resign that same day, but the point is, like, once a year, you're going to, start looking for something else, unless you decide for yourself, okay, actually, this is the best thing for me. And that's a good place to be, too, because when you make that decision, like, you've done the evaluation, you know you're in the right place, at least for another year, then you don't have that kind of feeling of regret or missing out. You don't wonder, like, is the grass greener somewhere else? You're like, no, I just kind of evaluated this, and I know I'm in the right place. But if not, then you have to start making active changes. You have to start looking and saying, okay, well, what else is there? Like, how can I create something different in my life? So it just kind of forces that regular evaluation.
Are you finding, because we're about the same age, are you finding that the people of our generation or younger are not as introspective as they should be?
You know, that's a good question. I don't know. I think people of a younger generation are kind of dissatisfied. I think they're a little bit skeptical. I think they might be cynical, and rightly so, because you know, a lot of things that they have been told, or a lot of models that have worked for previous generations, don't necessarily, you know, work for them. So, I mean, in some ways, I think they're being introspective and reality-based about that, and trying to kind of find their own way. But maybe introspection also comes with time and experience and going down more of those paths, like you talked about.
Yeah, because I remember, you know, I remember your previous books and this book as well. I mean, you make lists regularly. Mm-hmm. You've made lists throughout your life, and that's allowed you to take a perspective that, say, other people might not have.
Right. I don't know if it's personality-based, though, you know, because I think some young people are also list makers and goal-oriented. So, I don't know. I tend to focus much more on, like, what people have in common in terms of belief structure, you know, instead of, like, I'm part of this, you know, generation, therefore this is my behavior, these are my beliefs, you know.
I guess that's what Pinterest is for, to sort of focus our desires and our goals.
Yeah. I'm not a big Pinterest user myself, but it is pretty popular.
Yeah, there's a wonderful story in the book about your grandmother, and about, I guess, when you're building your brand, you're building your fan base, you decided early on, and what worked for you was an email list. And you would write these emails to your list, and sometimes she'd be the only person reading them. But I guess the key in there is just how you approach people,
mm-hmm.
and there is a lesson there in how to connect to people and with people.
Yeah, I mean the funny part of that story was, you know, she was part of the newsletter list, and of course it's not very many people in the beginning, but then it's kind of growing, and then there's a lot of people reading. But when my grandma would see my dad, she didn't quite realize that she didn't understand the concept of a newsletter or an email list. And so she thought I was just writing to her. So she thought I was like writing these like really elaborate, you know, kind of stories and all these posts and things to her. And so she'd go and see my dad and she'd say, oh, I got a nice email from Chris again today. You know, he told me all about these things. And so we used to laugh about it. But then I realized, like, as you said, there's a lesson there too. And the lesson is, like, you know, you should write, or you should speak, or you should communicate whatever message you're trying to present, you know, to the world. You don't think about presenting it to the world. You think about presenting it to your grandma or your friend or your, you know, university acquaintance, or that those few people who kind of represent, you know, the mindset that you want to challenge or encourage or assist in some way. So you always think about writing or speaking to one person instead of a whole lot of people.
Well, one thing that would be useful for a lot of us is the idea of being a good negotiator. And mm-hmm. for you, what have you learned has been useful as you've navigated, say, your work and your life?
Yeah, I think for me, you know, negotiation is all about how can I advance my position without causing harm to the other party or the other position. I don't want, you know, if you're trying to get something that you want, I think you should be assertive and you should, you know, hold your ground and stand for what you believe in, but you also kind of want the other party to be happy with it too. And you kind of want, I feel like in any kind of real negotiation, like the goal is for each party to be challenged a little bit, but to still have respect, you know, for the other person. And I think that's a lot, you know, a lot more helpful than just kind of charging ahead full force all the time.
You write in the book as well about previous book tours, and I'm talking to you now as you're crossing the continent promoting this book. Did you still enjoy that part of it?
I do still enjoy it very much. Yeah, I'm not going to all 50 states and every province in Canada like I did in the beginning, but I'm doing 30 cities on this tour, so it's pretty expansive and extensive, and I still very much enjoy it.
And you get to meet your readers, and not only readers of this book, but more importantly, readers of previous books.
Sure.
And do you find that depending on where you are, the questions are different?
That's a good question. I feel like there are some common themes. There are things that come up repeatedly, and that's really interesting. So definitely these connections that I have with readers kind of informs the process for what I do next and how I think about writing the blog or those newsletters that go out to my grandma. And people, for this book in particular, people are really responding to that concept of a side hustle, of building something on the side, even if you love your job, to give you another source of income, but also to give you more confidence, more security, people are responding to that a lot. But then, yes, place to place, you know, there will be some specific questions that are different and interesting and maybe more relevant to local issues. So it's always fun to have kind of a mix of things.
Yeah, that section on the side hustle interested me because that's something that I don't obviously have. But you know, reading your book, Born for This, it makes sense, right? It makes sense of building that nest egg. Do you think it's symptomatic of the times that we're in, this uncertainty that we need, say, something to cling to just in case?
I think it's two things. I think one, it relates to the times that we're in of uncertainty and change and transition. And I also think these times aren't going to change anytime soon. I mean, they will change, but I think some of that uncertainty is here to stay. And it's not like all of a sudden, you know, governments and corporations are going to revert to the model they used to have of giving people secure employment for 40 years. Like, that's never going to happen again, at least not in our lifetimes. But I think the positive, you know, side of it is, okay, it's not just that, you know, times are hard, so we should look out for ourselves more. The positive side is that there are more opportunities now than there ever have been. And it is very easy, you know, to start a small business. There's no guarantee it will work, but it's very easy to find out very quickly if it will. And we don't have to spend a lot of money doing it. We don't have to wait months and months to get it to market. We can do something using the skills that we have, even if we're not, you know, website designers, even if we're not tech savvy. It's not difficult at all. So I don't think there's any downside to doing it. I think there's only upside. And I hear stories over and over of people who talk about how I never planned to be an entrepreneur. I didn't want to, you know, be a businessman or a businesswoman. But I started this little thing, and I put my art for sale up on Etsy or some other website, or I started this little consulting business. I got my first client, and it just brings so much joy. It brings joy and empowerment. And so I think, you know, why not?
And then you found in these recent years that you are able to balance a work and life and not get burned out?
I don't feel burned out. I don't know about balance. I mean, I don't really separate things in my life. You know, I feel very fortunate to do what I do. And like I said in the beginning, we're not working any less. Like, I believe in this work very much. So I'm not burned out.
Yeah. And the World Domination Summit, I've read a great deal about that. That happens in August this year. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, it's been in July the past few years. This year will be in August. We'd love for you to come down sometime.
Yeah, it's growing every year, isn't it?
It is growing. It's growing and also changing. Like, I want to it's not just about growing in numbers for me. I want to make sure that we're, you know, trying to stay relevant and we're continuously providing something that's useful and valuable to people. So for anybody who doesn't know, that's a World Domination Summit is a gathering of creative, remarkable people from all walks of life. So, you know, throughout North America, but also more than 25 other countries are coming. And we have this weekend, which is now like almost stretched to a week, week-long experience of hearing talks and participating in discussions and lots of workshops and get-togethers and also some fun things too.
Yeah, and being in Portland, and you know, there are worse things to do in life, isn't
there? That's correct. That's correct.
I asked you the first time I talked to you when I guess the $100 startup came out because you were on this project of going to every country in the world, and you hadn't quite finished it yet at that point.
Right.
I asked you, there must be nothing in Portland to keep you there if you're wanting to go all over the world. And that's before I actually went down to Portland, and I've been down a few times since.
Okay.
And man, what a just a remarkable place that is.
It is a fun place. It is great. But I also like being kind of transitory, so I feel like I have the best of both worlds because, you know, I am home about half the time. It's not like I'm gone all the time, and so I have the home that I like in Portland, but I also go out and about around the world. So in some ways, I'm just kind of perpetually dissatisfied, I guess, because when I'm home, I think about traveling. When I'm traveling, I think about being home. But I like them both.
Yeah, and the culture, I mean, is that the stereotypes that we have? Because, I mean, there's a show now. And
Portlandia.
Yeah, and, I mean, what's it like to actually live there?
Well, I kind of joke myself and say that Portlandia is essentially a documentary. Like, I mean, it's basically like describing life there. And obviously, you know, it's exaggerated in lots of ways. But basically everything there is kind of, everything you see in the show is based on something that could actually happen or has actually happened in some way. So. But it's, you know, it's a diverse place. There are people that kind of conform to that stereotype and plenty of people who don't and do their own thing.
Chris, it's nice talking again. Continued good luck with this book.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
The websites for more, bornforthisbook.com and chrisguillebeau.com. The book is called Born for This, How to Find the Work You Were Meant to Do. It's published by Crown Business. Its author, Chris Guillebeau, joined me on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plunta.